All right. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. If you're there, say amen. All righty. Well, we're going to start. Gospel of Matthew 22, parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention. They went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city." Let me remind you what chapter verse 1 said. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the city corners. Invite the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. The king told his attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." Lord, we come this morning to learn of the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction. Pray that you come here among us. Reveal your kingdom to us, Lord, that we can get an accurate image of what you call us into. We can find you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? We're in a series called Getting Along in the Kingdom. And Jesus gives us a rather challenging description of that kingdom. How many people you know realistically worrying that their invitation is going to run out? How many of you ever think about getting kicked out of the kingdom? See, Jesus today, he points our attention to a man who is not dressed appropriately for the wedding banquet. Might cause you to wonder, what is the dress code around here anyway? You know, there's a lot of people who figure that things are pretty lax in the kingdom of God. Anything goes. Apparently not, because this man was thrown into the darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Getting along in the kingdom. How you doing? How's the kingdom treating you? Is it everything that you expected? Is it anything that you expected? Because after reading this, many of us are looking for something that's really not being offered. Can I get a witness on that? Like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like what I heard about in church. Didn't have anybody getting thrown out. Because the message of the church is so much about getting in that Jesus died on a cross so that we could get in. Invitations go unclaimed. I hope you have one this morning. Cost Jesus everything to get you in. But how's it going? Are you getting along? Jesus tells us this story. Jesus tells us this parable that the king is paying attention about what goes on inside the kingdom. He even lets us know that the king has certain expectations. Because if you're going to get along in the kingdom, you're going to have to get along with the king. Can I get a witness? Title of the message today is Connecting with the King. Amen? Amen? All right. All right, let's take a look. We're going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Oh, yeah, I was looking forward to listening to that today, you're saying? All righty. Bunch of verses here. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 7. These are the commands. Everybody say commands. Decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me, this is Moses talking, to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands I give you today, and this is a good part, and so that it may go well with you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Sorry. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey it, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. See, God is giving us a way to connect. These were the laws that were given to the Hebrews, the Israelites, as they were crossing over into their inheritance, into Canaan, into what we know today as Israel. They had been set free from slavery, 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And interestingly enough, their freedom comes with commands, decrees, and laws. You're thinking, well, I'm not really looking for any commands, decrees, and laws today. Now, Deuteronomy literally means the second law. It is the second law because the Israelites had messed up the first time. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, I went through the first 29 years of my life loving me with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Can I get anybody relate to what I'm talking about here? All right, look at this youngster right here. All right. I need to be a grandpa. That's what I need right there. I need to get me a guy. Look, these guys. Man. Can I hold that kid? All right, let me just hold the hat. Look at this. No, can I see that? Superman hat. How cool is that? Yeah. Oh. My daughter's even out of the room. Man, oh, man. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to do weddings. We're going to do all that stuff. All right, back. Here we go. See, it's easy for us to put a focus on us and what we want in our lives. Here it appears that the Lord wants our focus to be on the king. Credibly enough, the focus in the kingdom is supposed to be on the king. And for many of us, that's the struggle. Who's really the king of your kingdom? See, I came to the realization in my life that I needed a new king. That I'd messed up my life so much that I needed to let mine go and I needed to step into his. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody else figure that out? Amen? He says, good. You finally figured that out. Now, take that realization that you have come and point your kids towards me. If you point your kids towards me, they will have no clue how much pain they have been spared, but you will. Amen? Let's keep going. We're going to jump up to the New Testament, book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It is by grace that you have been saved. Can I get a witness on that? You have come to a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something that you have done. It is something that he has done in you by his Spirit. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, if you've got one of them sheets that you're going to fill in the notes on, I don't want to blow anybody away here. But God works in us. Amen? Say that with me. God works in us. Amen? Amen? God works in us so that we can work for him. You say, wait. What are you talking about? See, because many of us miss that part. We get it all wrong. See, we don't really think of God as a king. We think of God as a paramedic. And what happens is our lives get all messed up and broken up. When we get all busted up, we're like Josh dragging in here. My shoulder's messed up. It was your knee last week, right? There's a myriad of challenges that Josh has in his burgeoning football career. And mine was not inflicted by on the football field, mine were inflicted by me. Me being the king, me tearing up my life, and I called out to God. See, we figured God is going to come in our busted up life, and he's going to grab us, and he's going to put us on an ambulance. And that he's going to fix us up on that ambulance, and then he's going to deliver us right back into our lives all fixed up. Can I get a witness on that? Right? A lot of people think that. Now, we realize that after God has fixed us up, we kind of owe him something. A lot of people take that offering, the tithe that we have, I owe God a little bit. And what we really think about the kingdom is that the kingdom is a side hustle. That I will do some stuff for God just so long as it doesn't get in the way of my real life. Can I get a witness on that? A side hustle. Here's the issue. When he put you on that ambulance, you died. The problem with the kingdom, see, we're new creations in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen? And there are so many people walking around with their old lives looking for a resurrection. Lord, I need some way to have this old life come back to life. And that's not the way it works. You died to your old life. He doesn't give you a new one. I mean, he doesn't fix your old one. He gives you a new one. He does a work in us. So that we can do a work for him. Now, I was talking to a couple wonderful young women downstairs during the week. And Wendy was one of them. Coming up here, Wendy. And we were talking about changes.
Glory.
Changes that happen in our lives. Stand right over here in the light. Yeah, there you go. And we're talking about new life in Christ, and we're talking about coming out of lives of sin and the transformation that the Lord does when we give, the transformation in our lives when we give our life to the Lord. And Wendy, you had mentioned the change that happened in your life when you gave your life to the Lord. And you mentioned something, a new attitude, a new focus in your life. What was that attitude?
I said that when I got saved, and that God's helped me from my drug addiction, but I made a promise to him that I was going to honor and follow him, and that I was going to bring my family with me to church.
And you know, I've been thinking about that honor part. I said, what? And he said, I promised God that I was going to honor him. And I don't know that that theme runs through the church. How do you try to honor God?
I try to be here with my family, even though there's struggles, but I'm working through it.
And okay, and we talk about other things that you're trying to work on. What other things are, you said you're struggling, you're not there yet, but you're working on some stuff, just a little bit. What does it mean to live to honor God?
To follow him. Now I get more convicted on things I do, so I'm always trying to better myself.
You know, we were talking too the other day, and she said, you know, some of my old acquaintances, some of the old situations, I don't feel like I belong anymore. Amen? And that's what's going to happen. Thank you, Wendy. Amen? Yeah, so she's going, I'm not talking with the pastor during the week anymore. All right. Kingdom living is a struggle. All right, Matthew 26. We are in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, Jesus is headed to the cross. And you can read them on the screen. You don't have to read them on your phone. It's okay. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed. You ever get overwhelmed? My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane headed to the cross. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Kingdom is often a battle of the wills. Jesus headed to the cross. He was always headed to the cross. That is God's will for him. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is getting so close to the cross that the cross is all he can see. And it's all he can do to keep going because he is weary. He is anguished. He is overwhelmed to the point of death. And he kneels down before the Father. Father, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? And it's not just the cup of suffering, but it is the cup of God's wrath. That as he hangs on the cross with your sin and my sin and Wendy's sin and all of our sins, that the wrath of God will be pointed at him. And this is brand new to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was one in union and purpose with his Father. And the question becomes this morning for the kingdom, are you willing to go or are you willing to do something new if it's the will of God? Because this is the struggle that Jesus had, and it's often a struggle of the will. Not my will, but thy will be done. The challenge of living in the kingdom. Who's really going to be king? Will I surrender my will for his will? Because if you're going to get along in the kingdom, you've got to get along with the king. Amen? Let's keep reading from Matthew 26. Then he returned to his disciples and found them in fervent prayer, on their faces, covered with ashes, ripping their clothing. And, oh, Lord, notice the sacrifice that Jesus is going to make. No. He found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. He says, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he came back, they were in fervent prayer, tearing their clothes, covered with... No. They were again sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. So he just left them. And he went and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Disciples have challenges. Anybody have challenges this week? Anybody getting hammered by the devil? Oh, man, he's stomping around here. Look around. God's doing a work here. More you show up, more work he's going to do. Some people... not here for the work. Jesus pouring out his heart to the Father. Disciples are sleeping. Jesus asked his most trusted companions, Peter, James, and John, come and watch with me. And they let him down. You know, I think if the kingdom was a job, there's a lot of Christians that'd be looking for work. Kicked out like that guy not properly dressed. He says, you guys need to pray that you don't fall into temptation. Now, Jesus knew about temptation. We go all the way back to the wilderness, Luke chapter 4, the beginning of his ministry, as he was tempted by the devil. Verses 5 through 7, he says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. This is the devil talking to Jesus. And he says, I'll give you all of them. I can do it. All authority has been given to me. I'll give them to you. No cross. No suffering. No cup of wrath. All you got to do is worship me. Think that was a temptation? Oh, I think so. We move ahead to the cross. Jesus crucified on the cross. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, mocking Jesus. He saved others, they said. But can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. Oh, what a temptation. Hop off the cross for a moment. Temptation. Get off the cross, Jesus, and then we'll worship you. Challenges of the kingdom are real. Temptations are real. Move out of God's will and into our own will. Jesus goes back and surrenders his will to the Father two more times. And I want to let you know this morning that it might take more than one time for you to make it stick. Took Jesus three times. Takes you three times, might take you four. If you're going to get along in the kingdom, you got to get along with the king. I remember a Gethsemane moment for me. I want to say 10 years ago, maybe 12. We've been here almost 20. And I remember complaining to God. Complaining to God about this church. Many of you not here then? Johnny was. And I said, Owen, Gail was. And Jimmy was. I said, Lord, it's supposed to be bigger. There's supposed to be more going on here, Lord. And I was complaining. And the Lord spoke to my heart. Clear as a bell. I can't call you to a small church. And all of a sudden, I just shrunk. And he became massive. And my complaints shrunk. And there was a, not my will, but thy will be done. I said, Lord, you call me wherever you want. Lord, you called me to this church. I will stay at this church until you guide me someplace else, and I'll never complain again about how big or how small it is. I will just be thankful that you have called me out of darkness and that I can work alongside you. Amen? I only had to do it once. Let's move on. Amen. You're going to live with a kingdom attitude. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll tell you what, you want to read something thick. 1 Peter chapter 4 is thick. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, 1 Peter 4 is all about suffering. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. That's a challenge in the kingdom, whose will is going to reign. Amen? You spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do. I have. Have you? Living in debauchery, in lust, in drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And there's going to be suffering in the kingdom, but your suffering needs to be more than sin, more than the surrender of sin. See, we all come, Bible tells us that we all come, even this guy right here with the Super Bowl hat, Superman hat, we all come out of backgrounds of sin. Amen? We are born into sin. We follow great-great-granddaddy Adam into sin. Some of us more than others. I came out of piles of it. Piles of sin. God in his mercy saved me out of sin and into his righteousness. It is God's intent that we would leave our old lives behind and move into kingdom life. And part of kingdom living includes suffering. And that kingdom suffering is about more than you living without your sin. See, there's some people who think that God owes them because they have left their sin behind. Like they're doing God a favor. Look at me, man. I'm not getting high anymore. That's expected. See, Jesus died on the cross to set you free from sin. He's not thinking you're going to try and drag that sin into the kingdom. Your victory over sin is not your ending point. It is your starting point. Can I get a witness on that? See, God's desire is that we would move into the kingdom. His sacrifice brings us into the kingdom. It is our sacrifice that moves us further in. Can I get a witness on that? Are you tracking with me? See, a lot of people think that they're making the great sacrifice by giving up their sin. No, we've been set free from sin. Now we can start. Amen? Last thing I got. Suffering is part of the kingdom. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 7. Join with me in suffering. If we put that on the outside of the church, no one would come. The lady's going to have surgery tomorrow. I was laughing. Hallelujah. That's good. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Joe, go find your mom someplace. We're going to end up here quickly. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Amen? Making sense? Rather, he tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete, Josh right there, hallelujah, does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Gives us three pictures of what it's like to live in the kingdom. Number one is that of a soldier, and that a soldier is always focused on pleasing his commanding officer. Pretty clear? Our commanding officer is Jesus. Amen? Do you ever wonder about what it takes to really please God? Get up in the morning and say, you know what, Lord, today I'm going to work on blessing you all day. You ever done that? What would it take? What would you have to change? An athlete only wins if he competes by the rules. If you break the rules, you'll be disqualified. So I'm wondering this morning if you are following God's rules. Or do you ever think about breaking them? Because the church is filled with people who don't think God is keeping track of the rules. No, you don't understand, Pastor. See, Christ died, so I don't have to keep the rules. Those folks aren't getting along in the kingdom. Amen? Hard-working farmer should eat pretty good. First share of the crops. There are rewards for those who are working in the kingdom. Lots of work now. Rewards come when the king comes back. You're going to get along in the kingdom. Got to get along with the king. So how connected are you with the king? You can come up, Lisa. You know, there's Jesus talked about the wedding banquet. A lot of people think of the kingdom of God like that wedding maker. Like, yeah, I'll get you the kingdom tomorrow. I'm a little tired today. Maybe tomorrow. I was going to do laundry today. I'll get you the kingdom tomorrow. And what we have in the kingdom is mixed up priorities. Because Jesus says, if you want to connect with a king, you want to get along in the kingdom, love the Lord with all your heart. He says, you want to make it in the kingdom of God, love the Lord with all your soul. You really want to make it in the kingdom, love the Lord your God with all your strength. See, the Lord is only looking for one thing. All. How are you doing with all? A lot of people struggling with all. I don't know if I can make all. See, Jesus gave his all on the cross. He says, I'm looking for all in return. There are a lot of people struggling in the kingdom because they got no all. I had Wendy come up and talk about honoring the Lord. Get along in the kingdom, you got to get along with the King. And I don't know how many of you got up this morning thinking, how can I honor you today, God? How can I please you today, Lord? How can I wrap my life around your will, Lord? How can I put my focus on your kingdom, Lord? Because if you do that, it's a whole lot shorter route to get to all. Amen. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, we sit here in your presence. Lord, many of us just wanting you to patch our lives back up so we can go back. We'll flip you a little something. Many of us dragging our old lives around looking for a resurrection this morning, Lord. And maybe that's why you're not getting along in the kingdom too well. You never really understood it. New life. New life in Him. Old life passed, new life comes. And you go, oh, new life, new kingdom life. Focused on the King, Lord, I want to please you. I want to bless you. I want to serve you forever and ever and ever. You're here this morning. Bow your heads with me if you would. And quite frankly, you're just going, oh, I never really got that. I've been running around the kingdom just waiting for God to do good stuff for me. I didn't realize that He had expectations of me. Say, Lord, I'm so messed up, but I'm going to lay it all down, and I'm going to live to honor you. Nobody looking around this morning.